But evangelism is something that we often roll our eyes at, and we think, oh no, here's another lesson on evangelism, or what's it mean? What am I going to have to do? And the reality is that unless we have a mindset for evangelism, unless we're willing to go out to the community, the church is not going to grow. And as we look at some scriptures and some things here this morning, we're going to see that there's a great opportunity for evangelism in our communities. And then also, it just means we just have to just do it. It's kind of like I did a lesson, and really all of the lessons that I've done so far, preaching or Bible class, have kind of been going towards this direction. If we talk about the gospel, there's power in the gospel. It's transformative. It'll change us. It'll change our neighbors. When I talked about just do it, do all in the name of the Lord, when we're telling others about Christ, we just need to do it. And those kinds of things are all geared towards helping others learn about Christ. Here's a book that you probably remember. This is from the late 80s by Ivan Stewart. Go Ye means go me. And it was very popular back then, and it was a very good evangelistic tool. And there are a lot of other things that were done. You probably remember Jewel Miller film strips, right? Jewel Miller movies, they were very popular, and they were used as evangelistic tool or Bible study tool. And so these things are things that were available then, and there are a lot of things that are available now as well. And so what is evangelism? Well, in Acts chapter 21, verse 8, Philip was called an evangelist, right? He was one of the seven in Acts chapter 6 that were chosen with Stephen to take care of the widows. And so, but he eventually became an evangelist. And then also Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. And also in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a verse there that talks about that God has given us evangelists as well. And so there's some scripture in there. There's a couple of Greek words here, euangeliestes, and also euangelion. But euangelion basically just means gospel. And so what it means to evangelize is to, like, gospel, is promoting the gospel, gospelizing, if you will, just to share the gospel with others. It's not very complicated. It's not really difficult either. It's not something that's, takes a lot. It just takes doing it. It just takes the experience of one time saying, are you interested? I'd like to share my story. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. All right, here we have our scripture readings. And so I think Don and Joe has Matthew chapter 28. If you have one of your cards, and then I have a couple of more after this slide. So go ahead.
Proceeded to Galilee, the mountain which Jesus had designated for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
All right, thank you. And someone has Mark chapter 16. Go ahead.
Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these...
All right, thank you. And Luke chapter 24.
Luke chapter 24, 46 through 49. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
All right, thank you. All right, so all of these scripture readings that we read through, they all have something in common, right? They were The disciples were to go. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, to share their experiences with Christ. They were witnesses of Christ. They spent time in his ministry. They were baptized. They were to go out and baptize. All these things are what we categorize as the Great Commission, and that we have all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have their presentation of the Great Commission in those verses. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is when Jesus said that they were going to go out to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. All right, and then what happened? All right, then what happened? I think somebody has Acts chapter 2. Yeah. Is there
and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all, according as any man had need. And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to them day by day those that were saved.
All right, thank you. All right, before we do Acts chapter 8, I just want to say this. It's not really a formula, but it's the results. The results of preaching the gospel are those who are added to the church, those who are being saved. Peter calls out and says, be saved from this perverse or crooked generation. And that's the same message that we have today. We have the same message to the same people, if you will, our neighbors, our people that we see at the store, the people we see at the gas station, the people that we, you know, meet with. All these people are folks that we have to tell about Jesus. It's the same message. All right, and then Acts chapter 8.
Now Saul, who consented to his death, and at the time a great persecution rose against the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made lamentations over him. As for Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word.
All right, thank you. All right, and so even though they were being persecuted by Saul, where did they go? What did he just read to us that they went? They went everywhere. They went everywhere. And so everywhere, is there anywhere excluded? Anywhere excluded from everywhere? Of course not, right? Everywhere means just that. It means everywhere. They went to their neighbor's house. They went everywhere. And if you name somewhere, that's included in everywhere. And then these are things that we need to think about when we think about evangelism. It's not a word that, it's not a process that has to be over complicated. It doesn't have to be overcomplicated. There are programs we're going to see. I'm going to list some things, some potential programs that are available for evangelism. We can use those kinds of things. We can use programs. Maybe you have in the past. I don't know. I haven't had a deep conversation with Rick or Tom about it. I just know that it's something that's important to them. I think it's important to you, and it's something worth discussing, and it's something worth discussing, even if it's been discussed before, is something that is important. All right, in the Herald of Truth, there was an article by this fellow, by Steve Rigel. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but three things growing churches believe. All right, three things that growing churches believe: that people are lost without Jesus. All right, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, in the story of Zacchaeus, he said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, number two, faith in Jesus is what saves us, right? Faith in Jesus. We have to believe. We have to repent from sin. We have to be baptized. We have to live a Christian life. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. Faith is a requirement of salvation. It is something that we have to do. It's not faith alone, as James says, but it's the things that we do as well demonstrate our faith. But we have to put our faith in Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, John 8, verse 24, you will die in your sins. And then three, we have to embrace the message of reconciliation. It has to be important. If it's not important to us, then we're not going to think it's important to somebody else. I mean, we can kind of casually say, I wish somebody would become a Christian, or I wish, you know, that person that I talked to, would they would respond to the gospel. Well, we have to emphasize it. We have to say, hey, look, this is important. This is going to change your life. It's going to transform your life. It did mine. It can yours. Can we sit down and talk about it? Can I buy you a cup of coffee? Would you go out to lunch with me? Would you be willing to do a Bible study? And we have to be invested, kind of like a long haul. We would say like a person who drives a truck, if they're going to drive from here to California, it's called a long haul. It takes time, right, to get goods from here to California. We have to be ready and able to go the distance with someone to help lead them to Christ. When I was converted, it wasn't just one time. I had already been studying the Bible, and someone said, well, you need to be baptized, right? You need to do what it takes to complete what you believe. And so we have to do that. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him.
All right, thank you. All right, Paul is writing a second letter to the church in Corinth, and he's telling them, and if you listen to the words that he's saying us and we. He said in verse 20, he said, we are ambassadors for Christ. He says that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's including the church. It's just not Him as a preacher of the gospel. He's including the church in the directive to go into all the world and to share the good news about Jesus. Right? It's not just the preacher's job or the elder's job or a hired person or somebody like that. You can't rely on, and we're going to talk about heart-to-heart, house-to-house and heart-to-heart here in just a moment. You can't just rely on calling someone into a program and say, well, can you help us evangelize our community? They can, but we're going to have to follow up. We're going to have to do Bible studies. We're going to have to talk to people. We're going to have to say something to them to make it happen. It's not just a thing where you can just, you maybe have a gospel meeting and advertise a little bit and think that the whole community is going to come out. They're just not going to do it. They're not going to do it. It's like the saying that they don't care until they know you care. I may not be saying that exactly right, but the idea is that, you know, people are not going to care about what you have to say until they believe and understand that you care about them. Now, here's some evangelism training resources. If you go online, you can look at the School of Evangelism from the House to House, Heart to Heart. I know that's a supported ministry. I don't know if, do you all may have the mailing? Do people, are they mailed the House to House?
Yes.
Okay, they're mailed the House to House. But we need to, it needs to be followed up on, right? It needs to be followed up on. It needs to be, you know, talked about. It needs to be communicated. And somehow get from, you know, their mailbox to in here or to a visit or something. There are other evangelism tools. They have an entire program. They have it's on CDs, videos, all different kinds of things. World Video Bible School, they also utilize the same material from house to house. Now, I had a video, but I don't think it's going to work. But this is a video off of YouTube of Rob Whitaker. He's the director of the School of Evangelism. He goes to individual congregations and meets with them and talks to them about evangelism and what they can do to work in the community and try to encourage people. But we have to be able to promote the church. I think last week when the young fellow came and talked about you can't have Christ without the church, or you can't have church without Christ. Either way, when we say that, you know, when you're a Christian, you become a part of the church, you're in the body of Christ, you're baptized into Christ, you know, to be saved, you become part of the church. And so it's a us situation. And you know, you got to be able to say, you know, hey, can you come? Can you come? I noticed over here on the pew a box of these little cards the other day. So I picked up a few to have available to pass out. And you know, you should have some of these in your car. I'm sure that the elders would like to see that box over there empty. Right? They'd like to see it empty. They'd like to order some more. It doesn't take much. You can say, you know, I'm a member at Neely's Bend. I'd be glad to have you come visit with us. And it has our service times on the back. Whatever you might say, it doesn't take much. Just maybe you can have this and a box full of push pins. And then anytime you see like a bulletin board or something, you can put one up on the bulletin board. But it's one of those things. You just have to do it. It's just got to be done. Where are some places that the church can promote Neely's Bend? Because the reality is that we're telling people about Christ, but we also want to attract visitors and members to this congregation in the community. You know, one of the problems with churches today, especially in Nashville or other big cities that are kind of the what we call the Bible Belt or the buckle of the Bible Belt, is that you can drive across town to any other congregation that you want to. And while that's available, I don't know that that's always, you know, the best. You know, if you can invite people, you want the neighbors and what have you to come here. This is their community. They're invested in this community. They want to change this community. And so it's good to go someplace where you're close to. Now, I understand that we don't always go places that we're closest to, but I think that's a good thing to do. And so when we work in an area, we want to work in this area. We're not going to go to Bellevue or Franklin, Tennessee, or you know, somewhere else, some other Sumner County or wherever. You don't necessarily to evangelize there. We want to evangelize here. There are supported ministries that can help promote, for example, Tennessee Prison Ministry. They have sponsorship, so if you're contributing to Tennessee Prison Ministry or Disaster Relief or other organizations that help support the work of the church, then are there opportunities for us to communicate that Neely's Bend is a place that is a friendly congregation? If we want to invite people, we want you to participate. What kinds of conversations can be had with these other ministries? And in the last two bulletins, what made me think about this was last week and this week in the bulletin are lists of missions that are being supported by Neely's Bend Church of Christ. And so the question is there anything that can be done to utilize these as a way to say, hey, we're here. We're here. We want to participate. We want to invite you. And say that, look, we participate in these things. All right? Social media. Of course, you can do social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube. We can do all kinds of things with social media. Then there are local events, right? like 50 forward. So I printed off a program at 50 forward, and they have all kinds of things that can be done. Of course, they have fitness, but they also have a Bible study for ladies on Thursdays at 11 o'clock. But they have all different kinds of activities that maybe someone would enjoy going to, and they have crafts. And there was a craft, or I think it was a craft fair that was actually down on Centennial Boulevard at the park recently. And I don't know. I think there's some pretty crafty ladies here maybe that could, you know, you could set up a table and you could talk to people. You could give away some things. As an auctioneer, I run across things all the time that could be used for crafts. It's like at the auction, I got Brenda whole boxes of greeting cards, right, to send out to people in the community or members of the church. And so I got all these greeting cards. And so what better way to use them than to use them here? And in the auction, when there's an auction coming up, it's got beads and cloth maybe for quilting and just all different kinds. I always get things that are sewing and just all different kinds. Maybe wood scraps for a person who does wood carpentry crafts, just anything like that. And as long as I have access to those things, then it can maybe it could be used. We just have to be creative. Things to do. I used to work for Marriott Hotels. I worked at the Airport Marriott, St. Louis, Missouri. It's a big 600-room Airport Marriott. And all of the associates or team members, employees, they used to have this little card called Basics of the Day. And on one of those Basics of the Day, we would go through these each day of the week. One was, if you see like some little crumb of trash, you're supposed to pick it up, right? They call it Marriott Bend, and you're supposed to pick things up as you go, bubblegum wrappers and whatever, a cup, this and that. And then they had one was, think of creative ways to say yes. Think of creative ways to say yes. And so whenever a guest had a problem, we were called empowered associates. We had the authority, if you will, but mostly it was just empowerment to say that I could solve the problem for the guest that was in front of me. So let's say I was the assistant director of maintenance, assistant chief engineer for maintenance. And so a team member, they would call me and say, oh, well, such and such guest, their TV's all messed up, right? Their TV's not working. It needs a new little box on the back. Such and such. So they would go, I would say, well, why don't you just offer them a cup of coffee down at the restaurant? Or why don't, if it's really something really important, they miss like, oh man, they missed the UT Alabama game and they're all distressed. Well, why don't you give them a meal, right? Why don't you give them a meal at the restaurant? You know, do something that was going to help them feel better about the outcome than they were when they were going in. And so that's kind of how we have to think about it. We have to think of creative ways to say yes. It's just that kind of that simple. Madison Library, there are all kinds of events at Madison Library. I looked at online, there's places to volunteer. And so whenever, if you want to be involved in the community and you volunteer, it's a great way to hand out one of those little cards, right? One of those little business cards and say, I'm a member at Neely's Bend. We'd like to invite you. Or we'd like to have someone who'd like to study the Bible with you. Do you have any questions about the Bible? You know, if you look on YouTube or anything else, there's a million questions that people have about religion. And so we want to help try to answer those things, those questions that they have. All right, but there's a cost, right? There's a cost. It's going to take time. It's going to take money. But the reality is that there are all kinds of these things right here are being supported, and you have the resources to provide for these things. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, the reality is you have to evaluate your priorities and think about what's most important and say, well, you know what? I think we need to focus on this or we need to focus on that. Whatever the church thinks is important is what's going to happen, right? Whatever we think is important in our lives, that's what happens. Whether it's personal, whether it's church, whether it's work, when we set priorities, that's what happens. And so there's always a cost to everything that you do. No matter what you do, there's going to be a cost. right? Everybody spent some time today. Everybody spent some money, at least on gas. Everybody's going to make their contribution. Everything costs time and money. We just have to decide what is the priority. And we have to be all in, right? You have to be all in on whatever you do. And so it's not just a, it's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here, he said, we are ambassadors for Christ. It takes all of us. It's not just one person. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the elders. It's we. All right. And like the book from the 80s, late 80s, he said, go ye means go me. And then now they use the phrase, go ye means go we. All of us. We go together. Sometimes you know, it's not a Bible study. It doesn't have to mean just one person by themselves. You know, you can invite somebody else. You could say, you know, hey, somebody wants to study the Bible. Can you go with me? Can you go with me? I don't feel like I'm as confident as I need to be. And we can do things to help build your confidence. We can do things to help talk to go over the questions that people might have. You know, how old is Earth? You know, just because you're going to get all these kind of like really random questions. And you don't always have to have just a definitive answer to things. You can say, well, you know, this is what scientists have said. You can go to Apologetics Press is a great resource for things about evolution, about the earth, things like that. It's a Church of Christ organization, Apologetics Press. They got magazines, Think Magazine, all kinds of things. So sometimes it's not just that we have to have a specific answer. It may not be really a big issue for me or for us, you know, or that we have a problem or affects our faith. But maybe it is for somebody else. Maybe it's just something that we can give them a resource to read on their own. And it takes personal relationships. You're going to have to take a chance. You're going to have to say hello to someone, right? You're going to have to say hello to someone. We were at a yard sale yesterday or a estate sale yesterday, and we were talking to a lady and her husband. And so Donna Jo was up on the front porch, and the man was behind her. And she was trying to signal him to say, let's go. And he was talking to somebody or something. So Donna Jo turns around and says, sir, excuse me, sir. You're wanted down here. And so we were kind of joking around with him and said, well, do you know that lady? And we're just having fun, right? We're just having fun. We're kind of like we're all neighbors. We're all neighbors. We never did get their name or anything, but you know, you just be willing to be friendly. Be willing to say hello. And you just never know when you're going to see someone again and say, hey, didn't I see you at that estate sale? You know, you're walking down the aisle at Publix or Kroger's or somewhere, and you say, hey, don't you live somewhere close by? I saw you at a sale. And then off it goes. Then there goes your conversation. And you find out something that you have in common, somewhere where maybe you've both worked or somewhere where your children or grandchildren have in common or go to school. You just you don't know until you find out, until you know. All right? And it is we have to do it. Everyone has to be all in. And so sometimes it may not be that you are the one who actually goes and does a Bible study. It may be not you the one who strikes up this really deep conversation or relationship. But maybe you're the one that makes phone calls. Maybe you're the one that sends the card. Maybe you're the one that says, hey, you know, sends out the invitation. Maybe it's something that you do here at the church or, you know, on behalf of the church. You know, I don't know what that might look like, except that I know that there's plenty to do and there's plenty of opportunity right here. And when you just look up, drive up and down Neely's Bend, you know, when we're driving here, I'm thinking, well, there sure are a lot of houses between here and Gallatin Pike. And there sure are a lot of houses between here and Old Hickory Boulevard. And there's a congregation not very far. Old Hickory is a, you know, it's a vibrant congregation. They're pretty good sized congregation. They have daycare and they have all kinds of things that they're doing. There's no reason why another congregation can't be in the same, you know, same role in the community. All right, well, we're about to wrap up. I really intended to let people talk as I went along. But I guess I got kind of on a roll, right? I got on a roll. But is there any other thoughts or questions? Or yes, sir.
I like what you said about just going out and finding things you have in common. You know, as people, it's really easy to find the differences we have between each other. But it turns out people have so much more in common. You know, all of us have to eat every day. We all have to drink water. And if you live in Nashville, you have to drive a car to get around, and everyone hates the traffic. It's just so easy to find things you have in common with people when you're looking for things that have in common with us. And so that's always a great way to start cold outreach or people you haven't met before and you're just meeting for the first time, is just find the things you have in common.
Yeah. Sure is a great day, isn't it?
What is it you said? Yeah.
If you want, you're going to have the greatest influence on the people that you spend the most time with.
There you go.
And if you don't spend time with someone, you're just not going to influence them, right? You're not going to influence people that you don't spend time with. It's going to cost time and money. But you know, I did a lesson on Jesus. Well, I did a lesson on discipleship. Let's see, I'm trying to think now how I phrased it. But, you know, take up your cross, right? Take up your cross, Jesus said, and follow me. And so the idea of taking up your cross is a sense of sacrifice. You know, that's what he said, you know, you're going to have to follow me. And there were those who declined, right, in Scripture. The rich young ruler, he declined. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. He went away sorrowful because he had many riches. But Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Any other thoughts? Or yes, Don?
I began writing on Facebook. And this is what's under my, what are you thinking about? I started just putting Scripture in there. I didn't put any comments. I just flat put Scripture and where it was found. I started getting all these friend requests. I mean, tons of them.
Yeah.
People want to hear it. They want to know it.
Yeah, and you know, of course, their son Thomas with the Tennessee Prison Ministry. I mean, evangelism is a big part of the prison ministry, and that's what I did for about 10 years was to go into those jails and prisons and tell people about Christ. I don't know how many people we baptized up in the Sumner County Jail. Hundreds. I either baptized them or I took a picture of them being baptized. And so as the work developed in Sumner County, instead of me doing the baptizing, I did a lot of the baptizing, especially in the beginning. I would include the volunteers and let them come and do the baptizing because that helped them build their faith, right? I can go house to house and knock on doors and all those kinds of things, but the reality is if it's done by members of the congregation, it also will build your faith and your confidence in God. Yes, you're going to be rejected. Yes, out of the hundreds of inmates that were up at the jail, there were, percentage-wise, it was just a few. But Jesus says, narrow is the way, and there are few who find it, right? There are few, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the few. But Facebook is a great example. Prison ministry is an example. Other thoughts? We still have a few minutes.
Well, speaking about prison ministry, those men and women who go through the program are looking for a place to worship, and it sometimes it's difficult for them to find a place that is accepting to all of them. They have tattoos everywhere, they have piercings everywhere, they don't have nice clothes, maybe they have to wear boots. We've got to get over that stuff and welcome individuals who don't look like us if we want to go. And we have a neighbor next door who has, she's a nurse, she's going to school to develop her specialty in operation. She's a heart nurse in the operating room, and she owns a home in Springfield. She owns 2 cars. She's as sweet as she can be. But guess what? Both of the sides of her head are shaved, and she's got beautiful roses tattooed on her head. So we've got to look past that stuff because she really likes chili on potatoes and that kind of stuff. And that's a challenge for many. It's just own up to it, it's a challenge.
Yeah, I invited a fellow, called me the other day. He actually was driving down Donaldson, through Donaldson, and he saw my truck, and he called me right then. He said, "Hey, Grant, what are you doing?" And he was someone that I met in the prison when we would go out to the maximum security prison. And then he came to the Tennessee Prison Ministry, and he just happened to call me. It's been years since I've seen him, 4 or 5 years maybe, or longer. And I said, "Well, I've been attending at Neely's Bend, and I've been preaching some there." I said, "If you'd like to come, we'd be glad to have you." And he said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I might. But, you know, at least he's going to entertain it." And there's, you know, a lot of people like that that I may know that, you know, that I might, you know, would like to invite, you know, and I do invite. I have invited. But, you know, we just have to keep on inviting. Any other thoughts? Yes, sir.
Money is not an object. We are fortunate enough that I can save it. So if you have an idea, some way we can reach out, I can't imagine that we wouldn't be able to fund whatever somebody came up with.
Yeah. There you go. That's opportunity to brainstorm, right? Get together. Maybe that's something I wanted to come to the breakfast that's going to be next week, but I have an auction that's going to be ending at that time, and I have to be at that location down on the Verne for auction pickup, day for them to come and pick up. But I was hoping that I would be able to come, but maybe that's something that could be discussed. You know, y'all could discuss, you know, what can we do? What are some ideas? You know, get together and think about it. But until you get motivated, nothing's going to happen, right? Nothing's going to happen. Any other thoughts? All right, well, it's a quarter after, so that means it's time for me to end my time here. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for this day and for all your many blessings. Father, we are excited that we have opportunities in our community to share the gospel, the good news with others. Father, just please be with us as we think about these things and as we search for opportunities. And Father, give us confidence, give us courage, give us whatever we need to share your love with others. And we know sometimes it's difficult, but Father, with your help, we know that through Christ we can do all things. And so, Father, we just ask that you'll help us to be a light in our world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.